Proverbs 16, verse 18 in the King James says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I found that the word haughty is when I heard an old saying, hoity-toity, a long time ago in Vermont, and we all can kind of relate to that because that's New England talk, and it's always about putting others down and finding faults, and when we do that, we're lifting ourselves up, and we're being prideful and making it a very a way of making the other person feel low or inferior or just being singled out for their faults. And that's a very dangerous way to live because it doesn't end well if a person doesn't allow the Lord to work in their lives and to change that, to coming to realize that this is exactly what's going to happen. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's a difference between a fall and destruction. A haughty spirit generally is like what we just talked about, and pride, that opens the door for pride to take over, and without a mid-course correction, like the space shuttles that they used to launch to the space station, they would have to, with computer technology, make a mid-course correction, or a spaceship would miss the moon. A little here can make a large difference further out, away from that, and a haughty spirit, it's going to catch up with the person who has that character of always looking to make themselves more important or esteem themselves. Paul talked about don't esteem ourselves more highly than we ought to, and so I looked this up also in the Passion Translation, and it reads like this: your boast becomes a prophecy of a future failure. The higher you lift yourself up in pride, the harder you will fall in disgrace. And so you see, it becomes a fruit of our character and how it affects others. But it's also reflective of things need to change in the person's life. Or it's going to follow them, and it's not going to sit well. It just won't. You'll come to the end of what you thought was successful and what you thought was fruitful. And so I looked a little further, and I came across, I was reminded, the Holy Spirit reminded me about the five I wills. Those are the words of a fool if he doesn't acknowledge the Lord. The five I wills, you'll find those in Isaiah chapter 14. And this is so much connected because you're going to see where the Spirit all began that Solomon is writing about. Isaiah chapter 14, and we want to look at verses 12 through 15. And I have the King James, but I also have it in the Passion Translation. But I like to read the King James first because here is where you see the five I wills. But we'll start with verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Do you remember in Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 18, we don't have to go there, but you remember the account of when the 70 were commissioned to go out and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and cast out devils, and they came back and gave their report. The 70 went out two by two, and they came back, and they were telling Jesus about all of the miracles they saw. And Jesus, like, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Actually, my Bible says Lucifer. And so we see how this all happened. And here, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? which did weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, verse 13, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation to the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. And end of story. But I was thinking, just as I was reading that, about the man who designed, it was the architect of the Titanic, and how he boasted and bragged that this ship was so well made that even God couldn't sink it. He openly said that. His words are on record. And Faith and I went to the museum in Washington, D.C., where a lot of remnants of the Titanic are, and we spent a lot of time in that area. And that man's words are still there. And now he boasted and bragged. And his big boat went to the bottom, and it took a lot of lives with it. Now, some more on this. Now, here is the Passion Translation, and I bring that to you once in a while because this is translated from the Aramaic language, which was spoken at the time. And so this is the language that people spoke in. And then follow up with something local that was addressed many years ago. Look how you have fallen from your heavenly place, O Shining One, Son of the Dawn. You have been cut down to the ground, you who conquered nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will rule on the mountain of the congregation, on the highest place of the sacred mountain. I will rise past the tops of the clouds and rival the Most High God. Yet down to the underworld you go, into the depths of the pit. And there's some notes that I like in the Passion Translation. I find them very helpful. Oh, or day star or morning star. You have to remember that Lucifer was the morning star. That was his appointed position as an angel. And it wasn't good enough. He had to attempt to exalt himself even above God who created him. And that didn't last too long. And in the notes, this is also a reference to Nebuchadnezzar and the fall of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. So there's some history too. But in the fall of Satan from heaven, Luke 10:18, Lucifer, a name for Satan, is the Latin word for the morning star or Venus. And some also view this passage as referring to Adam and the sin of man, because you see, that's when pride entered. It entered through Adam. And so pride is part of the, I want to say, before salvation experience, because it's part of our sin nature that we were born with as children of Adam, the first Adam. There's only two. There's the first one, and then there's the last one. The last one is Christ, who redeemed us back from everything that Satan killed, stole, and destroyed. And it's all been restored now. Jesus did that at the cross. And we, who are in Christ, have also been delivered and set free. So pride and puffing ourselves up and talking down to others and treating them less than they deserve is really a dishonor. And we need to guard our hearts, because we can be really good at stuff. You know, the different gifts and skills and talents that God has given us. But there's nothing wrong with giving God the praise and the glory for anything that you do well, anything that you excel in. It's better to give God the praise and the glory, because without Him, we become dependent on Him. And you know, I was trying to give you a clue about Independence Day today, that we've been made independent of having to depend on ourselves. If we don't make it happen, it's not going to happen. You know, any of you used to live like that before Christ? Nobody? Wow, yeah, I marvel. You've done good. I couldn't say that. But today we can. And how important it is that whatever you're good at, whatever your gifts or skills are, just thank God who's enabled us. I love to paint, but I don't have any patience for other things that I told you about. Painting, wallpaper hanging, all of those things, I thank God that I still have an extremely steady hand. If I've got two colors, black or white, or green and white, or blue and white that are dark, and I'm painting, molding around the ceiling, I praise God. He's taught me to hold my breath when I've got the brush up there with paint in the bristles, because if I breathe, my arm's going to go up, my hand's going to go up, and you're going to have paint on your ceiling that doesn't belong there. So I can't take any credit for that. He showed me that and taught me that, and I want to give him the praise for that and the patience that goes with it, because a lot of people, when Faith and I had our company together for many years, nobody ever, they hated painting with a passion. And I'd say, Lord, send the worst ones to us, the customers. Send those other painters' worst customers to us. And my golly, we still see them today. They still ask us if we still have our business after all of these years. And I say, no, we don't do painting as a business anymore. But we help people from time to time that have those needs. But people would put coffee on the counter. They would actually bake stuff and put it on the counter for when we'd come in the house. Cold, refreshing drinks in a refrigerator. Or they'd say, I made a pie last night. Help yourselves. It's in the fridge. And just total freedom and liberty in their homes. And it was like with the one we encountered at Shaw's 2 weeks ago. She said, yeah, you learned a lot about our family. And I says, yeah, but you learned a lot about us too. And we give God the glory. Because so many times in people's homes, we had opportunities to use those gifts. But there were times when people had needs. I saw one of the most wealthiest people that I've ever met in my life become broken, like crushing a cracker when his dog died. This man worked in the World Trade Towers in New York, and his office got destroyed the time it was first bombed. There was some destruction then. And that didn't seem to rattle him too much. But when his dog died, he was a broken man. And we were there to bring him comfort, and his wife had Parkinson's disease. And he insisted and she insisted that we would sit at the table and have tea with her every morning as part of our work routine. God lifted us. We couldn't lift ourselves to do those things. And then when all the work was done, a TV station in Boston did a whole hour touring all through that building. It's called the Cabot Mansion, and it's off of Route 12, down below Walpole, between Route 12 and the Connecticut River. And it's very, very famous in years past. And we did 17 rooms, 10-foot high ceilings. They were so wealthy that his wife bought all their wallpaper in Paris. And yet, they treated us like family. And I never forget those times, because they had a grand opening celebration to come and see their house. And they were personal friends of the owners of the Metropolitan Opera in New York City. We met them. And they invited Faith and I to come to that big grand opening celebration in their house. And I met people that thought they were as rich as God, and they spent money like they were. And those kind of opportunities happen if we have a right attitude and a right spirit. And this is all connected. It has to do with the new character, who we are in Christ, and about being boastful and bragging on stuff that we do. I mean, gosh, we are who God made us to be, and we're His creation. And so I like to take Paul's attitude. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast on God, because there, He can handle it without getting a big head. It's hard for us. We like, you know, it just feels good to put your hand up there and do that and see how nice that feels. And say, oh, well done. But wouldn't it be greater when we get to cross over and the Lord puts His hand on your shoulder and says, well done, you good and faithful servant. I may not be the best at everything, but my heart is in it, and I'm faithful. And that I can test to you publicly without bragging. I'm faithful to do all that I know how to do. And God has so made up for what I lack. And I know He's done the same for you. So today, let's celebrate Independence Day. And maybe you hadn't thought of it in that light. But independent of ourselves, but dependent on Him and all the good that He's done in our lives. She's one of my joy projects. Each time I have an opportunity like that, I don't think about it as a profession. But it becomes a joy project, because if we each take it good at what we're doing and bless people with the joy of what God has done in your life and given you, you know, Lorraine, I think of you in the records department at the hospital, and not so much as a spotlight on your life by people, but you have the freedom to be the best that they've ever had, and they'll suffer a loss if you weren't there, because God has given you more credit than you've given yourself for the patience that you have and the stuff that you've had to put up with and tolerate. And how each of you are special in that regard to the Father, and He does not overlook one thing, and He will continue to bless and move mountains out of your lives if you continue to have that right spirit, not a haughty spirit. We all know what that's like when people put you down and make you feel like about that big. That's not going to go well for them. It didn't go well for the devil, and it surely ain't going to be going well for him that follows the devil. It's ugly. It's of the flesh. It's hurtful. It's harmful. And we're called to be people of the Word and speak life and healing and encouragement and hope to people, and not speak like James talks about, a whole chapter written about our words.